Welcome to the Think Tank. I'm Parsons. He's Jordan McNamara. We share our research, experience, and acumen to build dynasty winners and unlock ceiling outcomes. Now is the time to seek elite results. Big thoughts starting out after the dynasty weekend NFL draft going, and it's Michael Penix. We're going to blend the NFL with the dynasty here for our teams, for our dynasty owner toolbox. Jordan, what do you think Michael Penix represents and kind of the thought behind blending what Atlanta did to looking at his outlook in Dynasty?
Don't worry about need, just take the best player on the board, especially when it's at a premium position, right? And I think that it gets ridiculed, it gets made fun of, it gets segments about it, right? Your PR team's got to probably be better than theirs was, but ultimately it was the right decision, right? And again, I think they had him probably quarterback two on the board, and he got to eight, and they say, we're going to do it. And if you actually look at what you should do from an NFL perspective, like you should spend your first round draft picks on quarterbacks, tackles, edge rushers, and receivers, right? They've done the thing at receiver, right? They took Drake London, right? Maybe they didn't want to go with another one after taking Kyle Pitts. Now their offensive line is fairly good. They could have gone edge rusher, but honestly, edge rusher fell to the mid first round anyways, right? It turns out it would have been a reach, right? They go with the ultimate premium position. It's funny because you and I were talking about this on our after hour show, which we recorded before this, and the history of the eighth pick has been pretty bad historically. And so you just kind of look at that, and I think you can do all these. Well, what if they had gone this position? What if they had gone that position? Like just take the premium position, and I think that you can sort that out later. Right. And that's especially true in Dynasty, right? If you've got multiple and you're going to have it this year where you've got a good team and you're staring, your quarterback right in the face at the end of the first round of rookie drafts, you just got to take the best positions at the premium, the best players at the premium positions. And this is going to be a really unique opportunity to do that.
Yeah, the NFL. I mean, as you were talking and laying out those positions, frankly, you need to take a position where if they were on the open market and you draft a successful player, it's going to be 25, 30 plus million dollars. And let's not pull punches. We're moving in a direction rapidly with quarterbacks. For example, if Dak Prescott hits true free agency next year, 50 plus million dollars. Let's just
Yes.
be real. I mean, Kirk Cousins, older, coming off an Achilles, got 45 per. So over two. So this is, you just have to keep that in perspective. The equity still drafting at eight overall is there in spades. Look at what, like, Jordan Love was later in the round, but even if Jordan Love was a top 10 pick, getting even a year or two of a rookie contract at that price point is huge. Translate over to Dynasty. And if you have a glut of quarterbacks, going quarterback, we say all the time in these did I get enoughs and dynasty trades that we've outlined for a year now that on this show, if you trade quarterback, or sorry, if you're trying to get a quarterback, good luck getting one without giving one up. It's pretty difficult because it's a supply demand issue. If you're trying to get an auto start quarterback, does the team you're dealing with have so much depth that they don't have to get one back? You can get two studs typically at other positions if you're willing to get a quarterback and not get one. And so if you hit on that, if you're strong at quarterback and you sit there and talk yourself out of a quarterback in this year's rookie crop, I mean, to me it's bad process because again, you're not lineup setting season. If that's your QB3, your QB4, you're just letting the league off the hook by passing over and over again. I passed at seven. I passed on another quarterback at 12. You're just letting more guys hang out there and potential answers because we don't know. Penix might be the best quarterback in this class 3 years from now. You just pass on that too. And I know they're the two that are getting the stink, the huge stink eye, and Drake May is too. We don't know Jack. Relatively speaking, we're trying to increase our probabilities by percentage points, but it's going to be pretty binary as we keep going through this, right? Like in 2 years, it's going to be really obvious of what quarterbacks are on the good track towards a new contract with their current teams, which ones might be on the track of being Zach Wilson. And then what's going to be in the middle of, I'm not really sure. So three buckets, and out of six, you might get two, two, and two. But the point is, we don't know, and there's so much leverage to going at the quarterback position. How about Travis Kelce, Jordan? New deal, it replaces. So it was about 30 million before, it's 34 million, the key number, 17 guaranteed. What's your takeaway here with Travis Kelce, as I guess we can rule out retirement this offseason?
Yeah, you're going to rule out retirement this offseason. I mean, this gives a lot of clarity on for him and the team, right? Hey, you play this year. We're not wed to you coming back, right? You can come back if you want to. You get that flexibility, play year to year. Here's what your contract's going to be this year. Here's what your contract's going to be next year. I haven't seen what the void years are, anything like that, if they've played any salary cap shenanigans from a team perspective. But, yeah, it's a 1 year deal, and yeah, he frankly deserved a raise. So, yeah, I mean, more power to him. This is great. I got him for 111, and I got him and Stephon Diggs for 111 in a two PPR for tight end league, about an hour and a half before this deal happened, and I'm extremely happy about it.
Well, you might miss out on Brian Thomas though,
Yeah,
Jordan.
right.
I mean,
Seriously. Or Xavier Worthy, his teammate, who's going to get a lot less targets.
what's gonna happen there? Yeah. If you're a Kelce owner, does this make you feel better than a day ago, or worse, or the same? Because to me, it seems very sameish.
Yeah, you don't know. Like he had made it known after the season that he was coming back. Like he mentioned something about repeating and those sorts of things, but you never truly know until you have to start reporting for mini camps and you have to start reporting for OTAs and those sorts of things. If he's truly back, well, now we know he's back, right? So that makes you feel good. Yeah, I figured he probably would have made some early off-season announcement if he was actually going to retire, but he keeps playing and we'll see, right? So
Year
yeah, I
to year
mean,
player,
year to year player,
and you get
but a
one. If you
true
get one
hammer,
season,
a
if you
true
get one
hammer.
season or a half season in the sun, that's kind of what you're paying for. And the price falls, as we saw with Jason Witten or Tony Gonzalez. You know, as they aged, they keep, or Mike Evans of the wide receiver position, they keep aging, and moving down in cost, that it's really difficult to trade them away if you're in any sort of competitive window, just because of what they could do and what you know they're going to do. And when we get to actual lineup season, those are guys you want to have. And so, like you said, I mean, you got two guys going to be in your lineup for 111. So 111 could be something massive value wise, but is that going to be an auto start player this year, next year? So risky. It's risky. Like we said, trying to fill your lineup through the draft, not exactly good process. Now, filling your lineup with productive profiles through the rookie draft and trading, that's a whole nother venture. Finally, a short one, Ezekiel Elliott back to Dallas. We had signs of this before the draft, and I mean, they passed all the way through. They didn't get a look at Jonathan Brooks in round two, so we don't know if that would have been their selection. They said no to the giant gauntlet of round four, round five. A bunch of running backs ended up going in that range, and the only notable was Nathaniel Pete. They actually brought him in as a UDFA here. So that was one that, again, kind of had to look up about him. He ended up running a 4.5, a little bit undersized, but Zeke, Rico Dowdle, like we're playing the hits here for the Dallas backfield. Do you think they're done? Do you think this is going to be, you held Zeke, you held your nose last year. He had some viable streaming stars. Do you think we're on pathway to having some clarity with Zeke this year? Or do you think we're headed down a confusing rabbit hole of a committee?
I mean, I don't. There's not a ton of guys out there. The only name that he's more named to me really at this point than he is productive player, is Miles Sanders. I could see potentially being a trade candidate. As they took Jonathan Brooks and they could trade him, and it's the while the cap number is not great for them, they could trade him and he's cheaper to the team acquiring. So I could see something like that. But otherwise, there's not a ton of guys to come in and really challenge this backfield. I sat and watched for whatever it was, 100 picks on Thursday and Friday night. And I just kept putting in the AOD group chat, Rico Dowdle, Rico Dowdle. Like I was chanting Rico Dowdle's name. And he skated through. And honestly, like, if I am overweight on Rico Dowdle, Them bringing in Zeke is fine because I think he can compete in that backfield. Zeke's got a lot of mileage. We'll see how he holds up, right? His numbers fell off. I think that was probably more so to do with the offense last year, but he's been a declining player for a while. And I think that Dowdle's drawing live to be a guy that's in lineups this year.
Isn't Dowdle like the perfect guy with this shadow of Zeke coming in? And you get in a rookie draft, and let's say you get in the third round. We say this almost every year, but you're in the third round. It's a giant grouping, a cluster of guys that, like, one of my big takeaways this year is don't get married to one guy. Like, get some exposure to a bunch of different spots. There's a bunch of day three running backs in that zone. Maybe you want to mix in another position, but like, monitor your exposure across your leagues so that you have some different chances. Because I think it's pretty ambiguous when you look at pedigree, and then there's some spots that are a little better than others, but you're not getting some week one starter out of it outside of some extenuating circumstances. And I just think, you play the arbitrage game where it's like, you're sitting at 305 and you go, let me trade to 312 and pick up Rico Dowdle, a situation like that. So you're technically getting two outs. You're still getting a running back from that cluster. You're picking up Dowdle, options like that. So just keep in mind the little trade back. If you don't have some super strong preference, someone fell that you think is a round two value, and pick up running backs of that ilk to kind of draw live twice as opposed to once, as long as you got roster spots and it's not, 20-man rosters or something like that. But keep that in mind. And Rico Dowdle, I think, is representative of that. Did I get enough this week? We got Lamar Jackson. We are going under the hood on Lamar Jackson. And this is for Jordan Love and 105.
So you start thinking about what 105 is. Is that another quarterback? Is that a receiver? If I'm picking at 105, it's going to be a quarterback. Listen, I Jordan Love's a good story, but Lamar Jackson's an MVP. Give me Lamar Jackson.
Okay. I think we're going to disagree. I'll take 105.
Wow.
Well, I'm higher on Jordan Love than you are through our conversations total. I think what we saw, the progression we saw from him, the infrastructure there, and I just keep waiting for Lamar Jackson to, like, okay, here's something I'm working on, and obviously it's It we I want to see if the trend line of what I saw last year continues, but Lamar Jackson wasn't quite as dynamic last year. And if you view him like a running back, this is about the time you see some of the shine coming off, that they kind of have to reformat their game. Look at Saquon Barkley, right? Not quite, the 21, 22-year-old dynamo now at 26, 27. Not quite the same in terms of, and I just saw a few these moments where Lamar Jackson looked gettable. He didn't look Superman, superhuman, like we've seen basically from arriving at Louisville all the way through a year or two ago. If we see that little bit of erosion on the rushing side, and it just ticks down a couple notches over the next 2, 3 years, what does that look like? What does Baltimore look like? What is his fantasy production? So I know he's the number one finish. I know he's been an MVP. I just don't have the same trust that what we're watching translates into the future, because I think quarterback, one position that we look at this sort of macro lens, like, we don't take quarterback investment lightly. And I think the 105 is a significant piece that you're taking a top five pedigreed quarterback in that spot. You will be available to do so. I also know that you can move around. You might be able to move down from 105, pick up a 25 first, and still get one of those big quarterbacks from this year's class. You can do all of these things. You can get Jordan Love, who's drawing live to outscore Lamar Jackson now, and potentially two firsts out of that. So I also think Jordan Love translates very well. He wins as a passer, he adds some rushing. I trust the Green Bay infrastructure and system. I think they've done it perfectly outside of, Aaron Rodgers playing reindeer games. And then obviously they had plans to move on earlier. But in terms of planning for the future, and now Jordan Love is not the future, he's the present. And I love what they do at wide receiver. I trust them in the mid rounds for drafting and developing. And I just so I think this one is far closer in the next couple of years. How does Lamar versus Jordan Love head to head pan out? And then you're adding 105. If this was 111, then I'd be right with you. But I think 105 is relatively significant. You're pretty close if you want to move up. 105 can parlay into a lot of different things in addition to drafting someone like Drake May.
Yeah, I mean, here's the problem that I have with him is he going to be, is he a rushing threat in the sense of like, is he going to be a difference maker as a rusher? And if the answer to that question is no, do we really expect him to be second in the league in expected passing touchdowns again? Right? Because that's a lot to ask for, and I think that's a lot to depend on. And so when I look at him, right, you see about 3 points per game as a rusher. That doesn't really, that's not a ton, right? Like that's not a lot of points as a rusher from a quarterback. And so as I look at that, it leaves me a little bit like, are we? He feels a little bit to me the way that Geno Smith did coming out of 2022. Or he performed really well. It was unexpected, but he also got some good variants, some good breaks. And if that does not transition, if that does not sustain, I am concerned about him potentially being both a faller in production and also a faller in value. So that's my concern. Again, when you look at quarterbacks this year that had that played more than five games in terms of rushing yards, he ranked 15th, or excuse me, in terms of rushing points per game, he ranked 15th. Right. So again, he's not really, and the concern and one of the questions that we've had about a guy but like Trevor Lawrence has been he's not going to add a ton in the rushing game. Like this very much fits that paradigm. And Trevor Lawrence averaged almost a full point a game more per game rushing than Love did. So that's just my concern as he fits a little bit more in that paradigm and is a bit overvalued.
Yeah. I think he proved a lot. Like, again, we're trying to get quarterback right. I know it's high stakes because you're trading Lamar Jackson, but 2.0 big time throw ratio for Jordan Love last year. And that's, as good as Dak, but, but the basically qualifiers last year, Dak, Stafford, Jordan Love. So good company in terms of quality quarterbacking. That was Patrick Mahomes in 2022. So again, I think he's on the pathway of saying, if we were judging him and he's not a first year player, but if you view him based on, first 10, 15, 20 starts, I think that prism, he looks a lot better in terms of the trajectory. Like you view him in the CJ Stroud sort of strata when frankly, again, I thought Stroud was a little overcooked in what we saw last year. And I think Jordan Love was probably underreacted to some degree. A couple other trades here, Bryce Young. So Carolina doing some work this offseason, O-line, weapons, they're trying. They're absolutely going to try to see what they have and can they get improvements out of that offense that was tough to watch. Traded for a 25 first. So where do you kind of stand on future first for Bryce Young and taking that shot going into year two?
So my general rule of thumb is trading future first, right? You don't, you should really reserve those trades for guys when you are acquiring top 30 assets. I don't think Bryce Young fits that definition at all. So then you kind of come back and you think, okay, is there a reason why I kind of break that rule? Yeah, he's a quarterback. Yes, he's got good pedigree. I'm willing to reset the clock and take the pick.
Yeah, I think you got to. What does Bryce Young have to do to be worth more than the first? Like that's a question on if you're spending the first day. And again, you get liquid. I mean, Bryce Young, if he improves, I think we'd both be pretty surprised if he's like a top 10 fantasy quarterback, right? Like improvement would be quarterback 15 to 22. Does that sound
Yes.
fair?
Yes.
Good as a passer, built up the weapons, offensive line looks better. Team still probably not above 500, but showing signs of life. Actually fun to watch in some capacity. So that's still not highly impactful fantasy-wise. That first, again, you kind of want to reserve it for bigger and better things. Another first on the move out in 2026 here. So Zamir White, it's a good way to pigeonhole him into the show of survive in advance. They certainly did. Even though we talked up Dylan Lobey, even though we talked him up, I think that's a hedge on Amir Abdullah more than going for the number one job. So you got Zamir White, Jordan Addison, and a 26 first being traded for Mr. Christian McCaffrey.
Yeah, so like I could be pitched on trading McCaffrey, but I think I would want something more than this package.
Different.
Addison was fine as a first round wide receiver coming in, but that doesn't really move the needle. Like there's a lot of those guys now, right? Like we're seeing a lot of first round wide receivers. The profile's fine. I don't think he was spectacular. He was basically right about your base rate first round wide receiver, which again, that's fine, but I don't think that's a big time difference maker. Zamir White, again, he's fine. I just don't think he moves the needle much. And like I still think McCaffrey is a difference maker. So again, the pick is 2 years out. So you have that as well. Like, I would take McCaffrey in this deal. I could be, if it was structured differently with maybe some different assets, some different players, I could be in more on that. But I just with this structure of this deal, you're basically way to win this deal is McCaffrey to completely fall apart. And that gives
It's
me some
smart. It's
pause.
smart to, if you are trading away McCaffrey, though, it's smart to get the 26 first and not 25, right?
Correct. And the reason for that, of course, is because you're betting, right? The bet you're making is against running back longevity by making this deal. So you take it 2 years out with the hope that he won't hurt that pick as much, right? That he won't that pick, right? He's eroded, whatever contract situations come up for him, whatever it is, that he's not producing at a level that's going to make that pick really late, right? That's the bet you're making, and that's why you take it 2 years out on a running back.
This is a lot for, I mean, Addison's a first. You got another first. I'm kind of surprised with some of the trading right after the NFL draft that Zamir White's not going for first. He's going for seconds, which is not too different from January, right? Like you figure
I mean,
January there was a
Jonathan
lot of.
Brooks is by any definition a first round rookie pick, and he's going in the mid second in some drafts, right? Like it's not like when you compare him to what's going on in this draft class, people are just in love with receivers. And it's like I think you're right. Like from just a supply and demand perspective, he should be like Zamir White should be pulling high second round or late first round
Well,
rookie picks. Like,
shouldn't it have moved the needle of like he survived? Like there was
right.
not an assumption that he was going to.
Right.
Usually the market confirms that and reacts in kind, and it seems like the market hasn't moved at all from pre-free agency when they brought in Alexander Mattison. I mean, yeah. So anyway, yeah, it needs to be different pieces for me. But I'll tell you this, like I wonder if Addison, a first, and Zamir White can do something different for you. Like again, I like McCaffrey, but it's more of a I like having him where I have him. I'm not going out and heat seeking him this time of year. So it's not an auto trade for Christian McCaffrey month of May in 2024. So I would just point that out. All right. Lessons from life in Dynasty. I have one, which is, I had a couple moments like the draft weekend is always so busy for me. I may have to force myself to kind of get off the computer, stop doing work, and keep a normalcy to eating or moving and not doing bad things or like trying to get some rest. And I will say that if you love something, and again, sometimes we get really immersed into dynasty drafts or like managing our teams or whatever, but I would say like that balance is really important. Like there's too much of a good thing, that phraseology that you can be in too many leagues. You can be like every year when they put all those safe leagues drafts on the same day, like it can be too much. You're like, I love rookie drafting. I love like monitoring drafts and trading and looking at best players available and different strategies for different spots in the draft. I love all that, but sometimes you're like, it's just too much. It's like an ice cream eating contest. It's just too much, and honestly, by the time I didn't go to bed till 2 a.m. last night. And I went to bed late on Saturday night. And like I got to the end of the weekend and I was like, it's just too much. Like by the time, like literally was like I was trying to do a week of work in 48 hours. And now again, I love being done. I love supplying things for listeners and subscribers and, getting the draft guide and all these things. I love the process of it. I love the immersive nature of the research and putting all that together. But it's the one time of year where I'm just like, it's too much. It real like so it's a holiday, so to speak. We start on Thursday and we go all the way through Sunday, and it's like it's awesome. But like when the draft is ending and you start looking at UDFA lists and you realize like all the stuff you need to do, it's just a lot, and what I would say is I did get some questions from people, and again, I know it comes from a good place, and I know they would say, hey, it usually starts with, hey, I know you're busy, blah, blah, blah. But when people like it's like 3 p.m. on Sunday, and some people are like, hey, I don't know if my membership is working, stuff isn't updated on the site. Like I didn't know, what's going on. Like it looks like the rookie rankings haven't been updated for like a month or whatever. And
Right.
it's just like it's the wrong moment to say things like that, because it's like if you knew how hard I was working to get it up as completely and quality purposes, and then it's like you're kind of like in the home stretch, kind of saying, why aren't you TikTok? Why aren't you done yet? Like, it's really, that's like if someone's on the way home and you don't even know what their journey has been to try to get home. And it's like, you're late. Well, you don't even know the story. So it's like, I don't view that as late. The guarantee I make every time is I'm not going to bed on Sunday until I'm done with XYZ. And I was up there. I didn't want to update Dynasty rankings last night. It took a while at every single skill position and doing all this stuff, but I know it has to be done. And for hours before that, some people are just like, hey, why isn't it done? It looks like something's not up on the site, blah, blah, blah. Just again, I know that if I pushed back, it would be like, oh, I was just asking, and it comes, but it's just received. And so I would just say life, work, balance. I just wish there was a little more of it, but I know there's a lot of pressure to like have quote unquote the answers by Monday morning, which we're recording on Monday night. I know that that's the expectation out there in the fantasy and dynasty space, and I will achieve that every single year. But just the methodology of it takes a while, and just I just need to remember this for the future of figuring out better ways, or just kind of know what I'm getting into. Is there stuff I can do on Friday or Saturday a little more? I'm sure there's ways to optimize even beyond what I felt I did this year.
Yeah, it's a hard weekend. It is a hard weekend, but it's one I enjoy. It's a lot of work. I
It's
came
fun.
down with the flu on Thursday, some flu-like
Oh no.
symptoms on Thursday night.
Was it cough, cough? I have the flu. Leave me alone for 3 days.
No, it was
No,
like
okay.
I falling asleep sitting up type,
Okay.
losing my voice. I'm actually surprised I feel as good as I am right
Did
now.
you fall asleep during the draft at any point on Thursday, Friday, or Saturday?
I think on Thursday, and definitely. Oh, I fell asleep in the middle of the day on Saturday, sitting up watching
Okay.
it. Right, just
Okay.
totally out of steam. But I went to my office, my actual work office, my office to do all my recording and do all my work on Thursday and Friday. So that way, I didn't fall asleep. So I was like, sequestered basically.
Used to grow yourself.
it's a lot, but yeah, it's I don't. I like all the information, right? I once a year is fine, right? I only need to do that once a year, right?
Yeah.
I don't the draft is fine for
You know, part that got me, Jordan, and I knew I signed up here Eastern time. I don't know how you
Yeah,
guys do it.
I know.
Like I remember last year was a lot better, and now that I think about it, I was on Pacific time, and it was
Nope.
just, I mean, again, the part of it was I looked up and I was like, I thought it was a typo. Saturday, it till noon. Pick not till the afternoon. 9 a.m. on the West Coast. Like that makes a huge
Oof.
difference.
Yes, it
Draft
does.
getting over like at 3, 4 in the afternoon is 7. It's a big difference. So
Yes, it is.
that I have to remind myself that I did it to myself. I knew it was coming, and you get what you get. So 3 hours makes a big difference. Making a big difference. We talked about the deeper dive show this week, a live Q&A starting shortly as we finish this recording. And again, you get after hours. You get two bonus shows every single week beyond this weekly show. So it's a great time of year talking Dynasty with us and getting the best information you can to dominate your leagues. That's on the premium side. You can sign up over at patreon.com/dynastythinktank. So that's going to do it. Thanks so much for listening. You can follow us on Twitter at Chad Parsons NFL, at McNamara Dynasty. We have our own Dynasty content sites, analyticsofdynasty.com for Jordan, utfdynasty.com for myself. As always, unlock your ceiling and seek elite results.